Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin second quarter and first half 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, Chief Executive Officer of the DiaSorin Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to our H1 2016 conference call. Let me start saying that I'm really proud of our results of the last quarter. It has been the best quarter ever for the group in terms of revenues and, as you have seen, as EBITDA contribution. These results confirm that we are going forward on our path, which is focused on consolidating our position in the market as a specialist in diagnostics and increasing our margins consequently. As you know, Focus entered in group scope of consolidation since May 13, 2016, accounting year-to-date for roughly 8.8 million euros of revenues, in line with what we were expecting. However, in order to facilitate the comparison of the data versus last year, I will comment our results at constant exchange rate and without considering Focus in our perimeter. Now, let me start now with revenues. In the first half of 2016, our group revenues increased 6.9%, and the growth was mainly driven again by the success of our CLIA test. For your reference, CLIA today is representing 75% of the overall revenues of the group. In fact, as far as CLIA is concerned, in the first half, we recorded a growth of 8.3%, and this clearly includes vitamin D and ex-vitamin D products. And this is confirming the success and completeness of the menu that we offer in all the different geographies. Now, as usual, let's discuss CLIA ex-vitamin D first, and then I will comment on vitamin D. As far as CLIA ex-vitamin D, we grew by almost 16% in the first half, and this is throughout all the panel of tests that we offer, confirming the accretive contribution of our menu expansion and the strong adoption of our products in all the geographies. I'm particularly satisfied in seeing that our specialty tests are getting more and more traction on the market and are consolidating our positioning as a specialty player, which is focused on specialty products which address real clinical needs of the labs and the hospitals. In fact, if I can just comment on a few products, we continue to register successful trends on our 125 vitamin D test, which is doing particularly well in certain markets like U.S. and Germany. We got pretty much undisputed leadership on this test. We estimate that we own over 80% of market share worldwide. Let me remind you that competition for this test would be either some older technologies, RIA or mass spec. So the conversion to our product has been relatively fast because it simplifies the workflow for the big labs, but also is helping the labs located in hospitals to improve the turnaround time, since most of the time, because of the complexity of the technology, the 125 assay was typically a sent out test, and therefore it takes time to get the result back from the big laboratory players on this. So very successful product. As far as our infectious disease are concerned, as usual, we register a very good growth in all geographies, and this is thanks to the fact that we have an undisputed leadership in this segment of the market. We have a full panel of products that allows labs and clinicians to assess very different conditions, from prenatal testing to postnatal. And this also explains why we saw strategic fit between these products in immunoassay with the menu that is offered by Focus, which I remind you is mainly developed around infectious disease molecular products. Now, last but not least, our gastro panel, which has been completed. We have high adoption in the Nordic part of Europe, where this panel is generally more used. Australia, the Nordics, and we have initiated the registration in the U.S. of a couple of key products. One is CalProtectin, and the other one would be the H. pylori antigen test, because we believe that in the U.S., where today there are suboptimal technologies offered to labs to conduct this testing, the U.S. market would clearly be a very large opportunity for the company when the assays are going to be approved. Now, if we now move to the vitamin D revenues, concerning vitamin D, we confirm that our revenues are pretty much stabilized throughout the different geographies. In the first half of 2016, vitamin D was flattish, and when we look at the second quarter, the vitamin D trend overall was slightly negative, so 2.7% down, but this is primarily related to the fact that in Q2 2015, so the previous year, we had a very strong quarter. Therefore, we confirm that when it comes to vitamin D, we will continue to see some slightly negative trend, but overall, the business is stable. Now, the good news for vitamin D, as you know, is that very recently, the reimbursement has been granted in Japan, which was the last step which was necessary for us after we got approval to commercialize the assay in Japan. Reimbursement has been quite generous, is north of $40, and we have estimated that, certainly we know that from a clinical standpoint, vitamin D deficiency is a chronic issue in Japan, and this is fundamentally because of lack of exposure to sun and lack of current supplementation. Therefore, the clinical need is there. I think that we already discussed in our triage plan that we expect that in the next 5 years, the market penetration in Japan could be between 2 and 4% of the population. Let me remind you that in mature markets like Australia or the U.S., now we are at 20% market penetration. So this forecast seems not too optimistic. However, I think we need to face the fact that Japan per se is a very conservative market, and it is very difficult to understand how quickly the doctors will start prescribing vitamin D testing. The last piece of good news about Japan is that not only the reimbursement has been generous compared to other geographies, but also that the reimbursement allows testing for deficiency and not only for the pathological state of bone disease disorders. And this is very good because, as we all know, the vitamin D market develops around what we call wellness testing or deficiency testing, which makes today large part of the current vitamin D testing. If we think about the U.S. situation, the vitamin D market picked up really when vitamin D really started to get into the physical checks panel, which are run by insurance companies annually on employees. Now, if we move now to installment for Liaison Excel, again, we had a good first half. We installed 275 units, and now we have a total of 2,500 and some Excel installed worldwide. And if we add to that our Liaison install base, we get an excess of 6,600 systems worldwide, which is very strong install base for instrument of this type. Also, as far as installation, things are going as planned. Now, let's look at the revenues by geography. Quickly, when it comes to Europe, we confirm that Europe, notwithstanding, is a consolidated and consolidating quite difficult market. We continue to grow. We are up 5% in the H1 2016. If we look at the different geographies, we are doing well in Germany, where we have growth which near 7%, and then this is related to the 125 vitamin D plus infectious and certain very large contracts that we were able to sign with certain laboratory chains in the previous quarters. They are now coming to fruition. France, you know, has been a concern for Diasorin, and that is mainly related to the fact that vitamin D, because of the vitamin D reform, vitamin D volumes dropped significantly in the last year or so. However, now the vitamin D market stabilized, and that allows then our company to start growing again because the Clea XD products are very successful in France. So for the first time in quarters, As a whole, France is registering a positive growth of 5.6%, which is certainly very good and is very welcome when it comes to our European revenues. Now, if I may comment on Italy, Italy, unfortunately, is retracting, is down now almost 5%. And this is in line with what happened in quarter one, and we have discussed already. We do not expect this trend to turn positive in the second half of 2016. So we develop a negative view on the Italian market, and this is mainly related to the consolidation process which is happening in the country and the reform which has been set in place that is really pushing doctors to limit the amount of diagnostic testing in vitro or in vivo which are prescribed to patients. So it will continue at this rate also for second half, and then we will see what happens in next year. Now, let's now discuss North America. North America in H1 grew by almost 5%, and this is good for Diasorin, and this is mainly driven by the success of our Clea revenues. When it comes to vitamin D, sales rose 2.2% thanks to the agreement that was signed with, as we've discussed already, Quest Diagnostic last year. Besides vitamin D, the 125 is going very well in the U.S., I think, with the exception of a very large lab. We now control most of the U.S. market. When it comes to the other products in the U.S., the infectious disease continue to grow nicely. Our Clea XD overall in the first half grew almost 20%. So the strategy of deploying instruments, a new install base in a hospital segment using infectious disease is working. And we are certainly working, as discussed before, to bring new content to the U.S., mainly in the stool testing area, which is a specialty area, to guarantee that this growth will continue also in the near future. Now, let's now turn to Asia Pacific. Is the fastest growing region for us. In H1, we grew 13.6%, but this is a combination of different situations in this geography. Certainly, Asia Pacific for us, the strategic part of Asia Pacific is China. In China, we grew almost 30% in the second quarter, and that brings H1 to 45.5%. If you remember, Q1 was an outlier. We grew over 70% in Q1, but we warned everybody that was seasonal and had to do with shipment of certain tenders. So we are normalizing now in quarter two, and we expect China to be able to grow around 25-30% organically quarter to quarter. The success in China is certainly related to the fact that now not only we were able to penetrate the class 3 hospitals, which was done in the previous years, but we are also now very successful in moving to class 2. And the reason why now the class 2 hospitals are becoming an available market to our platform is that there has been an increase, there is a substantial increase in testing volume in the country. The testing volume is now funneled through the class 2 hospitals, and they become now large enough to allow then placement of Liaison XL in this setting, which is extremely positive for us because, as you know, we are among one of the few companies that develop this kind of system for this kind of market, whereas most of our competitors went for higher throughput solutions driven by the consolidated setting. So we see this strategically now as an interesting opportunity mid-long term to continue to fuel the success in China. And if I can comment more, what is very interesting is that we will be, as you know, we are in development of the Liaison XS. And the Liaison XS now, we believe that by the time it's going to be launched, it's going to be the ideal platform for the class 1 and the smallest class 2 hospitals. And again, this is an effect, effect related to increasing in volume in the geography. So stable, to make a long story short, is a very stable geography, and we see that mid-term and long-term, we are building a strategy to guarantee that this country can continue to contribute to our growth. Last but not least is Latin America. As you know, in the last year, Latin America for us has been an issue, and mainly related to the situation in Brazil and the fact that we had an exposure in the public sector. Because of the financial situation in the country, fundamentally, the government stopped paying suppliers in the public hospitals, and as a consequence of that, we decided last year to refocus our effort in the country, retract from the public business, and refocus on private labs and private hospitals. This strategy has been quite successful. In fact, Brazil now is back to growth again, and that, along with the success that we had in Mexico, is really boosting our revenues in this region. In fact, in the second quarter, Latin America grew 24%, which is something that we have not seen in the last few years. But also, if you compare to previous quarter, in previous quarter, the same region as was declining 2.8%. So we are seeing that a growth path moving forward that makes us feel more comfortable about the opportunities in this region, notwithstanding the fact, though, that we always need to remember this is a region of great volatility. So we see this short term for 2016, and let's understand where Brazil will go in 2017 as a country. Now, business development, let me just comment provide you some light on the Focus acquisition. We started consolidating Focus numbers since May 13, as I said before. And in this period year to date, between May 13 and end of June, we registered revenues for €8.8 million. And this is pretty much in line with our expectations when we decided to buy the business. We are convinced that in the next quarters, we will be able to fully appreciate the contribution capability of this business to our overall numbers, because it's a solid business developed with a very interesting customer base in the U.S. Let me remind you as a final comment that in the first period of 2017, we will host a new Investor Day to present our future 3S plan. And in that occasion, we will provide more information to you and to the investors about the focus business and our strategy. By the way, focus has been renamed, so going forward, the business is called Diasorin Molecular. Now, let me now turn the microphone to Mr. Pedron, our CFO, who will drive you through the other key financials, and then we're going to move to the Q&A session. Pier Giorgio.
Thank you, Carlo. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. In the next few minutes, I'm going to walk you through the financial performance of Diasorin in the first half of 2016. I will also make some remarks on the contribution of the second quarter and on the impact of the focus business, whose acquisition has been completed mid-May 2016. Let me start from the P&L. Overall, we are very pleased with our half-year results, which, both in terms of revenues and profitability, confirm the solid growth recorded during the first quarter. Revenues as reported, which means with the contribution of slightly more than 1 month of the focus business, grew at current exchange rate by 8.6%, or about €21 million compared to last year, and by 6.9% at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation. Let me please remind you that the guidance was a growth of 5-6% at constant exchange rate. Carlo has already covered the drivers behind this growth, both from a geographical and product line perspective. In quarter two, we have had some FX headwind, higher than quarter one, from almost all the currencies in which the group operates, with the only exception of US dollar. In particular, FX impact has been negative for €4.7 million in the first 6 months of the year, of which negative €3.7 million has been recorded in quarter two. Gross profit at €183.3 million and a half year grew by 10.2% compared to 2015. Quarter two gross profit ratio over revenues at almost 69% is confirming the positive results achieved in the last quarters. All of them were indeed in the 68-69% range. Half-year gross profit ratio over revenues at 68.9% is better than half one 2015 by 1 percentage point. As already commented during quarter one call, this variance is mainly driven by a different product and country mix. In half 1 2016, we have had higher sales of specialty products and lower sales to distributors, which usually enjoy lower prices. Besides, we have had some positive effects from manufacturing efficiencies, mainly driven by higher volumes. Operating expenses at €96.3 million, or 36.2% of revenues, have increased by 9% at current exchange rate compared to 2015. Whereas the growth at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation is in line with our expectations and below 6%. About €1.5 million of the reported growth in OPEX has been driven by the depreciation of the intangible assets, mainly know-how and customer list, coming from the recent focus business acquisition. It is worth mentioning that the surge in R&D expenses, which grew in the first part of the year by €4 million, or 32%, has been driven by the change in perimeter of consolidation, depreciation of intangible assets coming from the focus business acquisition, and some different planning in terms of R&D projects. Net of these effects, R&D expenses are in line with our expectations and previous periods, which means about 6% of revenues. The reported OPEX ratio on revenues is substantially in line with the H1 2015 at 36.1%, whereas the increase in quarter two from 35.5% of 2015 to 36.2% of 2016 is driven by the above-mentioned depreciation of intangible assets. Other operating income and expenses at €4.8 million in the first half has been negatively impacted by €3.3 million of non-recurring expenses, mostly driven by costs associated to the focus business acquisition. EBIT at €82.2 million of 30.9% of revenues has increased compared to H1 15 by 9.5%. Quarter 2 2016 EBIT, in spite of the depreciation of the intangibles, is just a touch above 31%. First half tax rate at 33% is in line with how we closed 2015 and lower by 90 basis points compared to half one last year. This variance is mainly driven by the different contribution to the taxable profit of the group of the different geographies in which TSRN is doing business. Net result at 54 million euro or 20.3% of revenues is higher than last year by 5.2 million euro or 10.7%. As expected, focus business has positively contributed to the net result of the period. Lastly, EBITDA at euro 102.3 million with a ratio over revenues of 38.4% is better than last year by 10.9 million euro or almost 12%. The variance at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation is 10%. Let me please remind you that the previous guidance we provided was a growth of about 8% at constant exchange rate. Let me now move to the net financial position and the free cash flow. In spite of the acquisition of the Focus business completed in May for 262 million euro, and the conclusion in June of the treasury shares buyback plan for almost 14 million euro, we closed the period with a positive net financial position of 6 million euro and more than 70 million euro in cash. Considering the strong cash generation of the group, we are aiming at ending the year in a very solid position. Half 1 2016 has confirmed our ability to generate a strong free cash flow. In the first 6 months of the year, the group has generated almost 54 million euro, compared to 39.3 million euro of 2015. The Focus business has contributed positively to this growth. Lastly, in view of the group operating performance, the management has decided to raise the guidance for 2016 revenues growth at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation to a range between 6 and 7%. The previous guidance was a growth between 5 and 6%. And to raise the guidance for 2016 EBITDA growth at constant exchange rate and scope of consolidation to about 9%. The previous guidance was a growth of about 8%. And now let me please turn the line to the operator to open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. First question is on the vitamin D in Japan. Carlo, you said $40, the reimbursement, and in the press release when you launched the test, you hinted at up to 5 million tests in 5 years. This will make 200 million revenues, sorry, 200 million euro, sorry, dollars. Question is, I don't know the Japanese market, obviously. Do you expect this reimbursement price to go down over time when more competition comes, or it's a kind of a guarantee for a certain amount of time? Any granularity could help.
I think there is this is the reimbursement. I wish this was the end user price. So that is the reimbursement rate, and you need to understand that from there clearly we have a fraction of that in terms of pricing. We are working in Japan through a distributor. Anyway, we envision, and I think we had this discussion before, that in Japan, because of the way the market is shaped up, the price that we have to the distributor is not that far off from the end-user price that we enjoy in certain European markets. So it's a lucrative opportunity. The cost to the system is going to be in excess of 200 million. The opportunity for Diasorin clearly is a fraction of that, but it's still significant.
And do you, it's probably too early to ask, but I give it a try. Do you envisage the opportunity of launching additional tests in Japan, or it's tough to say?
Today we do have already three assays approved in Japan. Clearly, is a minimalistic menu, but the reason for it is that we are unable to penetrate the Japanese hospital market. As a combination of the fact that we work through a distributor, but also there are a lot of Japanese diagnostic companies which are dominating the space. And therefore, our strategy has always been to focus on super specialties and to be sold then to the two, three big commercial labs that in Japan account for 30-40% of total testing volume. And that would make the logistic much simpler in terms of placing systems and dealing with these customers. So to make a long story short, there could be other opportunities, but we are always very conservative vis-a-vis the Japanese opportunity because we'll never be able to enjoy the end-user sales when it comes to and control of the end-user strategy and get access to the hospital market.
Thank you very much. Second question. On the Italian market, can you give more color about the regulatory issue you were referring to? It was not very clear to me.
The funny part is that there is no regulatory issue. As you know, it has been today a little bit the Italian way. There has been lots of public announcement starting from Mrs. Lorenzin about the need to reduce testing and lots of press coverage on the fact that doctors are really wasting lots of public money because they order too much. Now, as a consequence, there has been today, and there has been a list of products today that have been that the government is trying to regulate. Some of which are high-volume diagnostic testing, thyroid panels, hepatitis panels, and so forth. But there is a very big confusion when it comes of what the government wants to achieve. Net result is that there has been a significant decline in volume of certain products that are not necessarily clinically strategic. And vitamin D, let me say, is a good example. Vitamin D has been growing consistently 20% per year in Italy from a volume perspective. Penetration is still relatively low. However, starting from Q2 of this year, vitamin D is flat from a volume perspective. So the market is not developing any longer as a result of this. Along with this, it is also true that the country is consolidating and when it comes to lab services, and they are creating this hub and spoke system whereby in each region there are a couple of hospitals that are providing laboratory services for all the other hospitals, and then small ones for emergencies are left in the smaller hospitals. And this is creating, on one side, an opportunity for consolidation because when they consolidate in labs where DiaSorin is present, we get a lot of volume. But by the same token, when they consolidate, especially this is true for the mainstream products that we still sell in Italy, in labs where DiaSorin is not present, then every time is a big loss for DiaSorin. Because of the difficulty, again, there is not a law that necessarily is driving this, it's practice. It's very difficult to develop an objective view of where this is going to go. So I said we don't think that this is going to improve at all in second half. And then next year, I think we'll be able to comment more by November, December, when we will understand better the trends.
Thank you very much, and compliments for the results.
Thank you.
The next question is from Anastasia Karpova of Kempen. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon, and congratulations on strong results. Can you provide a little bit more color how this focus performance compares to its performance last year and give more specific about EBITDA contribution in the 1.5 months since integration? And my second question, can you please disclose Clear X Vitamin D sales in the US in Q2? And finally, have you seen any meaningful contribution to revenues and EBITDA from your partnership with either Beckman or Roche? Thank you.
I will cover this. When it comes to focus, I cannot say much because, as said, first, it is quite complicated to compare last year to this year, and this is because there is a large, significant proportion of revenues that were generated as intercompany to Quest last year under certain conditions that now are becoming, Quest is becoming a customer, and therefore you would be comparing apples to oranges. So we need to standardize that. The second thing is that we're going to give again more color to this acquisition beginning of next year. Let me just tell you that when it comes to the molecular business, is growing double digit as we expected. And so there are no surprises about this. If you remember, I think we disclosed that the focus business was made of a classic business, which is ELISA IFA specialty infectious disease, and then a high proportion of the revenues were on the molecular side. The classic business is stable, and the molecular business is growing as expected. More color will come later. It comes as far as CLIA XD in the U.S. No, I cannot disclose, but as I said, which I think is already more than what we disclosed before, it's growing 20% year-on-year. And it is simply becoming a good portion of total revenue. So it gives you an idea of, well, clearly vitamin D is not growing any longer, so it gives you an idea of the successful deployment of new platforms, new Excels in the U.S. The third question is partnership with Beckman and Roche. I don't think I can disclose. I'm thinking about it. I cannot disclose contribution because I would be disclosing numbers also of our partners. However, when it comes to, projects together, let me say that there is a combination of existing deals already closed plus deals in the funnel. We see 20 to 30 opportunities in the European environment. And when it comes to China, we see an excess of 10 units placed with customers, clearly just initiated that, and we see a very strong fit between us and Beckman in that market.
And if I may to follow up on the last question, so the growth in China, the sales growth in China you demonstrated this year, that would be primarily driven by DiaSorin and on standalone basis?
Oh, yeah. Is absolutely yes. It is negligible because the Beckman contribution, because these are installations that happened recently. So the numbers you see are all driven by our own placement of a standalone Liaison XL in the hospital market as described before. And again, I gave you a warning, 77% in Q1 was an outlier, 29% in Q2 is what we should expect. So China for us should be able to grow 25-30% year on year.
Thank you for taking my questions.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Once again, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We're about to conclude the Q&A session. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, a follow-up on Brexit. Given that you have a UK production base, do you see benefits or issues from Brexit, or is it neutral for you?
Actually, strictly from a UK point of view, it would be a benefit. If as long as the pound, the sterling, will devalue. Because today we manufacture in England products. We bought the Murex business, and it was located near London in Dartford. And from there we export in euro or dollar denominated geographies. So a weak pound for us is making a UK is a cheap manufacturing site, which looks very good. Now, if then they're going to be imposing taxation on export, God knows. So a weak sterling works very well for us.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Oscar Anderson of Bodenholm Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Oscar Anderson here. Thanks for taking my question. How do you see the M&A environment going forward, given you're already in a net cash position again after the Focus acquisition?
You know, this is interesting. I hope that you would have given me at least one quarter break with this question. Considering that we just invested 300 million no later than 6 weeks ago. So I'll go back to my usual mantra, which is, we do have capacity, as you have seen and pointed out, to take more opportunities. We are very selective, as you have seen, on our opportunities, but the good news is that if something comes handy, we do have the cash to fund this acquisition.
Great, thank you.
Gentlemen, Mr. Rosa, there are no questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Take care.